Gospel of Matthew chapter 19 verse 30 says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And we go into chapter 20, and he's going to explain that to us basically by giving us a parable. And the parable goes like this, and I'm reading out of the King James. Many people say, what version of the Bible is that? Some say it's the Idaho version, because I'll say he got on his rig and he drove off. No, it's the King James. Yours doesn't say rig? Okay. "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." He's got work that's got to be done. Rains are coming. You got to get this vineyard taken care of. He goes out early in the morning and he hires. The people would come to the village square. You'll see what I mean in a moment. And he's going to hire laborers to work in his vineyard. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." A penny a day. Now, in the language that would belong back then, how much was a penny? It was a Roman soldier's full day's wages. So that was pretty good pay. You weren't going to get rich, but you could sure take care of your family if you could earn that day. And so, for a penny a day, you're going to work in the field. It's about 6 in the morning when they go to work. "And he went out about the third hour," which would make it 9 in the morning, "and he saw others standing idle there in the village square in the marketplace." That's where you would go to, if you needed work for that day, you would show up and someone would hire you, hopefully, and you could work for that day. "He went out about 9 in the morning and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said to them, 'Go also into my vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. At the end of the day, when it's time for pay, I'll give you what I think is right.' And they went their way." Now verse 5 says, "He went out at about noon, and then he went out at about 3 in the afternoon again. And he did likewise, found people there. At noon there were some people standing. He says, 'Get on to work. I could use your help. We need to beat the rains. There's much to be done. Go ahead and get to work.' He went out at 3 in the afternoon. 'Hey, there's a lot of work to be done. If you're willing to go to work, work in my vineyard.' And he sent them out to work. And about the 11th hour, he went out." That would be, in our time, 5 in the afternoon. The day is over at 6. They started at 6 in the morning. The complete day, a full day, would be 12 hours. Now, at the 11th hour, he found others in the square standing idle, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here all day doing nothing? What are you doing? You're not doing anything." And they said to him, "Because no man has hired us." We want to work. We'd love to work. That's why we're here. That's why we've shown up. But no one will hire us. And he said to them, "You go also into the vineyard. I'll put you to work. And whatever is right, that's what I'll pay you." How long are they going to work? Well, the day is over at 6. They're going to work 1 hour. Hey, but it's better than nothing, isn't it? If you're trying to earn a living. "So when the evening was come," 6 o'clock, "the Lord of the vineyard said," verse 8 says, "said to his steward," or his foreman, the overseer of the group, he says, "Call the laborers and give them their hire." Let's go ahead and pay them. The day is done. The work is completed. Let's now pay them. "And I want you to begin from the ones I hired last at 5 in the afternoon and work your way on back." So when they come to stand in line to receive their pay, start from the ones that I hired last and work all the way back to the ones that started this morning early. "And when they came," verse 9, "that were hired at about the 11th hour, they received every man, a penny, a full day's wage." He said, "You go at work. It's 5 o'clock. What are you doing here? No one would hire us. I'll take you. You go out into the field and work, and whatever I think is right, I'll pay you." He paid them one full day's pay, a penny. "Now, when the first came, they supposed..." Now, if you are a Bible underliner, underline that. Or if you like to write in your Bible, you can write along the side, "assumed that they should get more." Well, I mean, we're standing in line, me and you. We've been working since 6 this morning, and it was hot today, and we have been going for it. And he hired them at 5, and he paid them a penny. Oh, I can't wait to see what I get. My goodness, if he paid them a penny, I've been here, 12 times as long as them. Maybe I'll get 12 pennies. They assumed they would get more. But likewise, they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured. They complained against the good man of the house. He's a good man. He hired them. They complained. They murmured. They said, hey, these last have worked only 1 hour. And you made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Wait a minute. I've been working hard all day. And those guys, they put in an hour. And they were talking some, too. I added that. Watch me. And how come you paid them a penny and me a penny? He answered one of them and he said, friend, God is not mad. He's not angry. This landowner, he says, friend, I have done you no wrong. I haven't done anything wrong. See, didn't you and I agree for a penny? When I hired you and you went out to work at 6 this morning, our agreement was I'd give you a penny. You accepted it. You were happy with that. I haven't cheated you. I kept my end. You've kept your end. I'm happy with it, friend. I'm glad. Thank you for that. I appreciate it, and I'll pay you because I said I would. Take that is yours and go your way. Go on home now. You shouldn't be upset. I will give unto this last the same that I give to you. Isn't it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is your eye evil because I am good? He says, we made an agreement. I kept my end. You've done a good job. You worked hard. I appreciate it. Thank you. Here's your pay. Don't complain. You and I agreed to do this. Now, if I want to give those this much, you know what? That's because I want to do it. I want to do that. It's my money. Shouldn't I be able to do with my money what I want? Just because you're evil, should I, you know, take credit for that? There should be no complaining here. If it were your vineyard and your money and your field, you could certainly do whatever you wanted with it. But I'm choosing to do this with mine. So, the last shall be first, and the first last. Many are called, many be called, but few chosen. Couple of things that stand out in this parable. Number one, I think clearly you know that the landowner is God. Why do I say clearly? Because at the beginning of it, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like. Therefore, you know that now we're going to put it in perspective. This landowner is God. And that tells me all accounts. Maybe you'll want to remember this or write it down. Put it on your whatnot shelf or in your refrigerator. Every time you open it, you'll see a little note that says, all accounts will be settled before God Himself. Everything about me and you, that's going to be settled right there before God. He will handle it. When I stand before Him and you stand before Him, God's going to handle all accounts. And another thing that you see through this is watch out for jealousy. Don't be jealous because somebody else did. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul in heaven when you get there and God gives you rewards because He loves you and you have come to Jesus and God has used you, you'll get rewards and Paul's going to be going back there and saying, that 20th century wimp, I mean, I went through it. I was in the sea. I was shipwrecked 3 times. I was beaten. I was this. You're giving Bob that? Don't be jealous of each other. Love each other. Don't be jealous of some other woman's or some other man's ministry. Be thankful. Pray for them. Bless them. Because in here I see a warning against jealousy. Watch out for jealousy. And another thing I see is, obviously, it's never too late. Do you see that? It's not too late for you. Talking to a man, he's 30 years old. He says, my life is gone. I say, yeah, you're probably not going to live much longer, but, you know, while you are, why don't you serve God? I haven't been too good, and I haven't really been walking with Him, and I'm kind of like, but you know, there's right now. It is never too late. I read a little article about a man and his wife going onto the mission field. And what was impressive of that was that the man was in his 70s and so was his wife. He retired late and thought, okay, now I'm going to serve God. He served God all the way. But now, if you're 70, I don't know that you ought to go to the mission field. But in this particular case, he did. Was it, you'd say, oh, you're too old. How long is he going to work on the mission field? 32 minutes, maybe. He won't even get the full hour in. I don't know. Or if by strength, an hour and a half. It's never too late. It's not too late for you. But watch out for jealousy. See, the first shall be last, the last be first. Many are called, few are chosen. Look at this. It is not the length of time you serve. Do you see that? It's not how long you serve. It's not the importance or the prominence of the position that you got. Well, I haven't been serving very long and I can't do anything really but just hand out bulletins. I don't do that very well. I drop half of them. Hey, it's not the importance or the prominence of the position. And it's not how long. It's not time and grade. It is the faithfulness to the task that God has given to you. He's given you a task. You work in the Lord's vineyard. And you might say, my task is boring. Other girls. Wait a minute. It's the faithfulness to the task that the Lord has given you. Mothers, you've been ripped off big time. I hear it all the time from people say, well, you know, once you raise your children, you can go out and become something. What a slam. You are something. I wouldn't take that job. I couldn't handle it, first of all. I don't think like a mother. That's why God made you that way. But I don't mean to only just point out mothers. Many people, they've got a calling, and they're doing something, and others are looking down on them for it. Hey, it's not the length of time you serve. It's not the importance or the prominence of what you're doing. It's the faithfulness to the task, what God has called you to. It may be big, it may be little, it may be thrilling, it may just be so simple anyone can do it. You say, anybody can do this, but the truth is God's got me doing it. Be faithful. Somebody said to me once, it's hard to follow Jesus. If you think it's hard to follow Jesus, try not following Him. Let's try it for a while. That's hard. I don't know how people do it. I do not know. If you're not born again and you're here today, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how it's done without God. I can't remember. Well, yes, I can. But let me rephrase that. There's no way to put it. It's a lousy idea. I can't remember what I did when I was in trouble, before I came to Jesus. I guess I'm glad He let me forget. Because now I immediately go, oh God, I got myself in it. Oh, no excuse, I'm in a hole. And of course, the rule of holes, what's the first rule? If you're in a hole, stop digging. Yes. To get out of that hole, good. To get out of the hole, stop digging. Lord, I'm in a hole. I confess I got myself here, but you got to get me out. And He will. You'll be dirty. You'll be a mess, but He'll get you out. Now, remember, God's going to take care of all accounts. He'll settle all the accounts. Well, Jesus now goes on, verse 17. Jesus going up to Jerusalem, He took the 12 disciples apart on the way. And He said to them, He said, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. This is verse 18. And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock Him, and to scourge, and to crucify Him, and the third day He shall rise again. Jesus does not talk about His death without talking about His resurrection. So I think that is a lead for me and you. He four times recorded, this is the fourth time, but He doesn't say, and the Son of Man is going to die. He always says, but he will rise again. You need to be having the same kind of heart. I know that I'm going to carry my cross and I'm going to serve the Lord, and I know things are difficult, but he has risen from the dead, and I know he will take care of this too. There is life, and I know that there is the promise of eternal life. Jesus is risen. I will. If you belong to him, if we belong to him, we will. Don't leave that part off, because otherwise it's all down. He says the Son of Man, this is going to happen to him, but he will rise again. Jesus is going to rise from the dead. And now James and John think so much like me. And their mother too. And so let's not talk about death and suffering right now. Let's talk about seating positions in the kingdom. I'd rather talk about something up. Okay, Lord? Right, let's just talk about this. Seating arrangement in the kingdom. That's a positive. I mean, yeah, okay, there's suffering and there's this. But let's talk about the kingdom. Where are we going to sit? And so, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, that's James and John, with her sons, Mark says the sons are there asking as well, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Oh my goodness, there's a mother's heart. Don't you love mothers? They are cool. My mother was just a mother. And I know you probably had mothers like that. I'm in the marching band. We're coming down the street. We're walking. I mean, the music is blaring. My mom is on the side. And she yells out because she is a little louder than some. And my mother is cool. She was 5 foot laying down. Anyway. I love my mother. Still. And as the marching band is going by, my mom yells out, "Look at my son. He's the only one in step." She's got a mother's heart. She knows. She knows her boys. She comes to Jesus because she knows her boys. Who should sit at the right hand of Jesus and the left? Her boys. Are you crazy? Who else would be? You wouldn't expect Andrew and Peter, would you? Not when James and John are available. That's a mother. And so she does this. She comes to him, worshiping him, desiring a certain thing. Stop right there. Hold it. Why do we worship him? Do you worship God to get something? Oh, Lord, you are good. I love you. And I think, can I have $5? Do we think he can't see through that? Let's butter up the king and you get anything you want from him. That's not why we worship the Lord. He has given life to me and to you. He's given you life. Jesus died on the cross. You said he said he was going, but he rose again. He paid for the price of your sins and for mine. You're free. If you are a Christian, your sins are gone, never to be brought up to you ever again. Never. Not in this life, nor in the life to come. Never. Your friends will. They don't count. I mean, when it comes to that. He loves you. We worship him because he has been so merciful to us. And so gracious and so kind. But the Bible says she came to Jesus. Now she loves him, and Jesus isn't upset with her, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing. And Jesus looks at her, "Oh Lord, you're so good. We know you're God. We know you're." And he goes, "What would you like? What are you after? What do you want?" She said, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, one at your right hand, one at your left hand in your kingdom." One on one side, one on the other. Now that is, those are positions of authority. To be sitting right there on the right and the left of the King of Kings, that's a big job. And so he says, Jesus answered and he says, verse 22, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" And they said, "Yes, we're able." How many times have you said that to the Lord? They have not got a clue what he's talking about. They don't know he's talking about suffering and being abused and being beaten and being crucified and being put to death. They don't understand that part. "Are you able to go through what I'm going to go through?" What do they answer? "Oh, sure." You want to think about that for a minute? And many times I say, "Lord, I just want to serve you." And he goes, "Well, now, are you sure that you, do you understand that they're suffering?" "Oh, yeah." And then I'm the first one going, "Lord, what are you doing to me? Get off. Take the weight off it." I don't understand anything. I learn. "Do you guys know what you're getting into?" "Oh, sure." And then he says something that would frighten me. "Well, you shall indeed drink of the cup of my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. Whoa. Okay, James and John, you will suffer and be abused and be tortured and be rejected. But to sit at my right, on my right side, on my left side, it is not mine to give. It shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. You know what he's saying? My Father is putting everything together. Seats on the right hand, at the right hand and the left hand, that's up to my Father. He's taking care of those details. My Father is putting it all together. Hey, now listen. Listen to what that tells you. Salvation is free. It's a free gift. You can have it today if you've never asked Jesus into your heart. You can be saved today. Just recognize you're a sinner. Recognize there is no way to the Father but through the Son. And that He is risen from the dead and is He is the Son of the living God. And you can have life instantly, free, a free gift. You don't have to pay money. You don't have to go get nice, clean up. You just say yes. But although salvation is free, notice that the position in the kingdom is really being determined right now. The position that I'll have and that you'll have in the kingdom of God is being determined now as we walk. Faithful service and commitment and obedience become the scale. Life eternal through Jesus Christ, the shed blood, that's free. Position in the kingdom. We're doing that now. It's being determined now. He says, my Father's taking care of that. Interesting, isn't it? You're setting up your own eternity. Some of you say, well, you know, I haven't really been walking like I should. No, yeah, Christian, I'm Christian. That's nice. But some of you are saying, Lord, I just want to serve you, that's all. Maybe I haven't been what I ought to be, but I want to serve you. I just want to walk with you. I want to humble myself. I want to say, take me, use me, use my life. Let me be used for your kingdom. Jesus is saying, I can't give you these positions. My Father's going to take care of that. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. They were upset. They forgot the parable to watch out for what? Jealousy. They forgot that. Boy, oh boy, aren't you glad we're not like the disciples? Aren't you glad we are so much more mature? There they are. They have just forgotten what the kingdom of heaven is all about in that parable. Watch out for jealousy. And instead, they're upset because James and John are trying to take cuts. You got out of line now. That's tough. You go to the back of the line now. What are you trying to get in front of us? Hey, Andrew was here first. He brought me. And you got... John is in his late teens, early 20s. He don't know anything anyway. You're taking cuts. You're trying to get ahead of the line. Get to the back. They're upset. Jesus calls them to himself and he says in verse 25, you know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. You know that. They that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. You're not going to act like the world. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant, your minister, your slave. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Just like the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, God Almighty, came here to serve us, to serve you. He came, he washed feet. He, with all the power that is available, with all the power of God, he humbled himself and talked with people and loved people and served them and gave his life for us. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of everybody. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, seek service. Don't say, well, who's serving me? Or who's praying for me? Or who's going to help me in this? What about me? I'm having a hard time. Instead, say, who can I serve? Who can I help? What can I do for others. If you want to be great, and remember, God's putting this all together now. Salvation is free, but you see the parables where one ends up over 10 cities, one over 5. You know the idea that's carried. You know something? Stop and think, and we've got to hurry now because you're talking too much and I'm running late. Stop and think. The last time someone looked down on you because you're poor or you don't have much of an education, or at least not like theirs, or they look down on you because you're at work and that's your job. Stop and think when someone treated you less. And when they did, remember how you felt. How you felt about it is an indication of how you're doing in your area of servanthood. You know what kind of servant you are when someone treats you like one. I say things like this, and she didn't even say thank you. I'm such a servant, you know. You know, I did that and nobody, not one person said thanks. You ever felt that way? Then you're right with me. We're losing. It ain't right. That's not the heart. That's not the heart. My heart ought to be, that's what I'm called to do. Hey, pick that up, dummy. I got it. I'll get it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And if you want, with my intellectual ability, I'd rather be a doorstop in the house of the Lord. That's not doing damage to the text than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. To be the servant of everyone, that's a chore. Because when you start serving people, they sort of start expecting that you should, because you're a little bit less anyway. If you want to be great, chief, if you really want to bring glory to your Lord, serve each other. No matter how you're treated. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit, or you're going to blow up. Or you're going to be offended and quit this church and quit that church, and it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled at all times to be just like Jesus. So, the Bible goes on and says this. As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Then we got a crowd. He's headed for Jerusalem to be crucified, to die. And behold, two blind men sitting by the side of the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out and they said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." They're calling him the king that was promised to sit on the throne of David forever and ever. "Thou Son of David, O Lord, have mercy on us." And the multitude rebuked them. "You guys, you're losers, man. Shut up. Jesus is on a busy assignment. He's busy. He's had a long day. Just be quiet." They said, "Hold your peace." I just paraphrased all that. But they cried the more, even louder, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stopped and he called them over to him and he said, "What will you that I should do to you?" They're blind. I've heard pastors and teachers say this about this particular scripture. Jesus was asking a stupid question. If they're blind, what do you think they want done? Lunch money? Wait a minute. I don't think this is a stupid question at all. It's a humbling one, yeah. Or yes. But it's not stupid. God is not a dummy at all. God is wise. And when he comes to you, and you don't even know Jesus, and Jesus is passing by, all of a sudden you have to confess, "Lord, I need you." And he says, "What would you have me to do? I am a sinner. I am lost. I need someone. I need you. You're the only way." Although it's obvious, he wants me to confess it. When the blind guys call out to him, Jesus knows they're blind. They had to be led to him. And he says to them, "What would you have me to do?" What do they say? Well, duh. No, they didn't. They said, "Lord, that our eyes be opened." They humbly say, "We can't see." Everybody knows it. But the truth is, we out loud humbly ask you, our eyes can see, we want to be able to see. You say, oh Lord, I humbly ask you, I need a job. I mean, maybe it's obvious, but I'm asking you out loud humbly, Lord, I need some help from you. It's not a dumb question. What it does is it caused me to be humble and to humble myself and to out loud recognize, or at least out loud to the Lord. Do you need a healing? You say, well, that's obvious. Cry out to God and see what God's will is. He'll say to you, what would you have me do? He said the same thing to Mrs. Zebedee. He knew what she wanted already. He said, what are you after? He knew. But it causes us to put into from our heart the words, Lord, I need you. I'm a loser. I don't know. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what to do next. I'm afraid. I'm scared in this situation. I'm confused by this. I'm hurt and I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. Lord, I need your help. I need your touch. I need your strength. And he does what? Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received sight and they followed him. Where was he going? To suffer and die. They've just received their sight. They're going to follow Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13. We read, he was taken outside the gate and he suffered there. Where they throw the garbage and they dump the restroom materials out there and it's gross. And Jesus was taken out there and crucified. And he rose again 3 days later like he said he would. And Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, let's go out the gate with him. Wherever my Lord is, we want to. That's where you want to be. Me and you, we want to be with Jesus. Sometimes it's humbling. Sometimes the world laughs at you because of it. Sometimes people look funny at you or look down upon you. But yet, I want to be where Jesus is. And if people look down and say, what a loser, I never claim to be anything else anyway. And I'm not going to be anything else when I grow up. I just want to follow Jesus. What about you? All accounts will be settled before God himself. You can rest in that. Watch out for jealousy. It is never too late to begin. Today is a great day. It's not the length of your time or the importance or the prominence of your position. It is the faithfulness, your faithfulness to the task he's given you to do. And remember to love one another and to serve each other. Don't wait until others deserve it. If people served me only when I deserved it, it wouldn't happen. If people loved me only when I was worth it, it just wouldn't be. Love each other. And take it easy on each other. Your family. You know, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your family. Your family. You would not be together in this room under normal circumstances. Jesus Christ brings you together. Different levels, all sorts. Love each other. Encourage one another. Strengthen and build up one another. Don't gossip and tear each other down. Help. Serve. Love. Pray about these things and see what the Lord speaks to your heart. Let's worship now as we close. Father, we pray, and our prayer is a simple prayer. Help us. We want to mature. We want to grow up. All of us are in different places, and the problems that you've allowed in our lives, Lord, they're all different. None are the same. I'm excited about that because I know each one of us gets to see you work in a whole different way so that we can then have a testimony to share with others so they'll all know it's going to be okay. Jesus died, yes. He suffered, yes. He was buried, yes. But he rose again. There's life. Help us, Lord, to not be jealous. On the contrary, help us to be loving and humble that we might serve one another. Lord, as we worship just for this moment, hear our hearts. Heal and strengthen and direct. as we worship you together in Jesus' name.